Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, welcome, folks, today to Stand in the Gap Today, this Thursday edition, May the 7th. This is Sam Rohr for Gary Dahl and David Kistler. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you ever look at it, Gary Dahl is not with us today. He actually is doing what we've been talking about for the last couple of days and what will be the subject of this broadcast today, and that is the National Day of Prayer. Actually, Brother Gary is leading in his area of the state of Pennsylvania right now as we speak, in prayer and delivering a message of prayer to all of those who are in attendance. And we said yesterday in the program that we would talk about the day of prayer today, and we're going to devote this entire broadcast to it because we think it is absolutely so very critical. And I'll just start this by saying today, day of prayer is being observed across the country. It's in Washington Day. Theme this year, Lord, hear our cry. I think a very appropriate theme. And from the beginning of our country, from the day the pilgrims landed on the shores to Governor Winthrop, to William Penn, Ben Franklin, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and many, many presidents down through the line, we have had our national leaders lead in prayer. And that's what's happening right now in Washington. And we happen to have a special on-the-ground reporter who is related very closely to David Kistler. And so, Dave, I'm going to ask you to introduce our guest right now, and let's find out what's happening right now in Washington.
You bet, Sam. Thank you so much. My son Nathan has been in D.C. a good portion of this week, I think actually since Tuesday, and running simultaneous with the National Day of Prayer commemoration starting on this past Sunday is the National Bible Reading Marathon. It started on Sunday afternoon at about 1 o'clock. It continued all the way until today and will conclude about 1 o'clock today. And so Nathan's been a part of that, but he's also been in the Cannon Office Building, which is where the National Day of Prayer commemoration has been held for the last number of years. And so, Nate, it's good to have you aboard. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Well, listen, buddy, let me ask you a couple of questions. I know you were in the room today. You had to leave just a little bit ago to make it to another obligation. But I'm curious, as you went into the room, what was the atmosphere in the room like? I know last year you were there, I was there, and there seemed to be an attitude of extreme seriousness, understanding the nature of the times in which we currently find our nation. There was a spirit there that was just very intense. The prayers were very intense. The atmosphere was the same. Did you sense that this year? Did you sense a ratcheting up of the seriousness and understanding on the part of the people as to where we exactly are in America right now? Was that reflected in the atmosphere of the room?
Well, when we first got there, you know, it's pretty laid back. Everyone's kind of introducing themselves to each other. And this year seemed, last year, I think, was very, very serious from the get-go. And, you know, I think right from when we started, Brother Dobson, you know, jumped right in last year and with some hard-hitting, you know, comments and things like that. This year it wasn't really that way. They started off with some great music. And we prayed. We actually started with prayer and had some wonderful Jewish friends that came and prayed and talked about the seriousness of prayer, the power of prayer, and then a second Jewish rabbi spoke for a few minutes and blew the shofar and talked about the power of prayer once again, and just had speaker after speaker that talked about prayer, and then Dr. Dobson came up and really got serious about the things that are going on in our nation, things that we needed to pray for. And there was a wonderful atmosphere, I think, this year of everyone was in a common accord, I believe, you know, and it felt that way. So it was definitely a lot different than last year. It felt very tense
Let me ask you this, Nate. You know, obviously, because of the nature of the time when this commemoration is held, it starts at 9 in the morning, goes until about noon. There are congressmen, senators coming into the room, having to leave because they've got obligations either in their office or voting on the floor of the House or the Senate. Were you able to ascertain how many of our representatives, how many of our congressmen and senators were actually in attendance? Because I know you know a number of them. Could you tell how many? Was there a good representation?
Yes, there were. Obviously every year Congressman Adderholt from the 4th District in Alabama is there. Actually, the day of prayer, everything that's done in the Cannon Building goes through his office. He's been doing that ever since the day of prayer left the White House when our current president came into office. And so he was there. He spoke and welcomed everybody. And there were probably, seven or eight different congressmen that I had seen around before. I couldn't tell you I'm their names. And a couple of former congressmen, at least one or two senators. I sat right behind the chair for Senator Ted Cruz, and he was supposed to be coming in just after I left. He was coming in for some different things. So, they do come and go. But there was a nice number of congressmen. The chaplains from the Pentagon were there this morning. So a great representation from our government. They're wonderful government officials and also great pastors from the area and obviously other spiritual leaders, from around the country.
Well, Nate, I know one of the things that probably many in our listening audience do not understand is that there is what's called a daybreak prayer before even the National Day of Prayer commemoration begins at 9 o'clock. There is what's called a daybreak prayer at the United States Supreme Court. And friends, this is a little known fact, but our friend there, Rob Schenck with Faith in Action, has procured permission to take a small gathering of men they're up onto the steps of the Supreme Court and to hold a daybreak prayer. And Nathan, I know you were a part of that as well. I've been a part of it in the past. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal time where we gather right on the steps of that government building and have prayer. Can you talk just briefly? We have just a couple of minutes, but could you talk a little bit about what that was like?
Yes. Well, this has only been allowed for the last 6 years, just six short years ago. That was illegal. Actually, walk right up to, close to the Supreme Court building or SCOTUS and pray. And, through the help of the Lord, we've been allowed for the last 6 years, only one day a year, but on the National Day of Prayer at daybreak to go. And it's about a 10 to 15 minute prayer time that we have. It's written out, and we pray for the president all the way down through our congressional members of Congress, for those who are on the bench. And it's a really, really awesome event. And we walk down off of the front steps of the Supreme Court at the very end and actually kneel down and pray right in front of the street once again. And that's just a really awesome experience. And we're trying to push, for more freedom there. And as the years go by, and the Lord has been really good there, it's a wonderful experience for sure.
Well, Nate, thank you. I appreciate so much you joining us today. Sam, again, I don't know if you've ever attended one of the National Day of Prayer commemorations. It really is an amazing thing to be a part of. But anyway, serious, serious time in our nation right now. Nate, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it so very much.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. And you've been listening to Nate on the ground reporting relative to the National Day of Prayer. Folks, stay tuned with us because we're going to continue this program. We're going to look at why do we pray in the first place? And what's the purpose for national and corporate prayer? And what is prayer? And frankly, does it make any difference who we pray to? Our special guest to help us walk through that will be David New, our Washington on-the-ground legal expert. So stay with us, folks. Be right back. This is Sam Rohr on behalf of Gary Dahl and David Kistler. Stay right back.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com, to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
World War II ended in Europe on this day, May 7th, 1945, when German emissaries entered a schoolhouse in Reims, France, where General Dwight Eisenhower had his headquarters, and signed an unconditional surrender. The war in Europe had lasted 5.5 years and cost tens of millions of lives. After the war, Eisenhower was elected the 34th president by the largest number of votes in history. He stated, "Without God, there could be no American form of government or way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the most basic expression of Americanism."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Lieutenant General William Boykin will speak at Coventry Christian School, Pottstown, PA, on Friday, May 15th at 7 p.m. in the Coventry Christian School Chapel. General Boykin served as U.S. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence from 2002 to 2007 and also spent 13 years in Delta Force, 2 years as its commander. You are invited to hear this American hero speak about God's kingdom in a world that is battling the evils of the day. Come hear how we can be soldiers of Christ, no matter where our battlefield is located. The cost is $25 per person. All are welcome, but seating is limited, so please reserve your spot today to hear General William Boykin at Coventry Christian School on Friday, May 15th, 7 p.m. by calling 610-587-9917. That's 610-587-9917. 610-587-9917.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the almighty ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, folks. This is Sam Rohr and Dave Kessler today handling this program. Our regular friend, Gary Dahl, is actually speaking at a prayer event today in the western part of Pennsylvania. As we move forward into this broadcast, I want you to stay tuned, folks. I think we're going to share some things that are going to be of great interest to you. And if you haven't, if you have friends, perhaps, who are not listening, call them up right now and ask them to join this program. But our guest right now, who's been on us with before, is David New. We call him our Washington Beat contact, our expert on constitutional law. And we're going to look at that as an aspect of the discussion on prayer right now. David, thanks for being with us today again on the program.
It's so nice to be with you.
David, I want to set this up right now before I go into a specific matter of question for you, is that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, prayer has been an historical of role of importance for this nation from the very beginning. I'm going to read one short paragraph here that actually came from Governor John Winthrop in a sermon that he preached, and contains within it a phrase that people will recognize. It effectively was a prayer, but it was as a part of a sermon. And I just want to do this to establish the fact of how important this is. He said, as a part of the sermon, he said, "We must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all the people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work of beginning this new nation," this was all the way back in 1620s, he said, "that we've undertaken and so caused God to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. And we shall open the mouths of the enemies to speak evil of the way of God and all those who profess God's name. We said we shall shame the faces of many of God's worthy servants and cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us till we be consumed out of the good land where we are going." You know, the founders, David, had a tremendous understanding of God's role. And even here, he said, it's possible if we don't do it right, he said, we could cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us. Now, I'd like to go to you, and as a matter of law, David, what has been the historical governmental recognition of public and corporate prayer in America?
Well, for the federal government, it really begins with Congress, of course, as soon as Congress came into session in 1789. But on a national level, it began with George Washington and the very first proclamation ever issued by an American president. And that, of course, occurred on October 3rd, 1789. And in that proclamation, the president, at the request of Congress, by the way, recommended that the people of the United States engage in prayer and set aside a day of prayer. One of the things that people don't usually think about prayer, we see it as a spiritual event, but actually in American history, it is an enormous political event. Hmm. The culture war that we have going on today in America actually was over the issue of prayer itself. Is it proper for the government to recommend people to say prayer? Now, on October 3rd, 1789, George Washington issued this proclamation. About 13 years later, Thomas Jefferson, on January 1st, 1802, wrote a response to the Danbury Baptist Association where he explains why he will not do what George Washington and John Adams had done, issuing proclamations calling on the nation to pray. And he explains why he will not do that. And he says because of the separation of church and state. And also he quotes the First Amendment. Well, for the most part, presidents have not accepted that view. It's definitely the minority view. But now go forward 160 years. Those two events, George Washington's proclamation, Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association about the separation of church and state, that was the key ingredients that made the culture war in America begin. And if anybody wants to know what date should we use to begin the culture wars in America, that would be June 25th, 1962, when the Supreme Court ruled against prayer in the public schools. And of course, very quickly, the prayer that the Supreme Court found constitutionally offensive was 22 words long, and it went like this: Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That's June 25th, 1962. With that short 22-word prayer, that began an enormous war between these radical secularists and traditionalists like you and me. And we've been at war ever since.
David, I'm going to go to David Kistler here right now. David, that's a setup right now, but I want to ask you, that was a part of corporate prayer, but I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between private prayer and public or national prayer? And from a biblical and historical perspective, why is national prayer in the public forum led by or historically been led by our national leaders? And is that necessary?
Well, you know, Sam, it's absolutely essential. In fact, one of the greatest prayers ever prayed in a public setting biblically was the prayer that Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel. The country was, you know, David just alluded to this culture war. Well, in Elijah's day, there was a significant culture war. The prophets of Baal had been summoned to Mount Carmel. And Elijah stood there basically representing God alone, and he prays one of the most incredible prayers. It's 63 words. It is not long. It is very short. It is direct, and it is prayed by God's prophet. And, of course, at the end of that prayer, the fire of God falls from heaven. It consumes the sacrifice. Everybody understands that Baal is not the true and living God, but the God of heaven, Jehovah, is. And there is a tremendous statement made, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And there is a tremendous, tremendous impact felt in the nation of Israel as a result of that corporate prayer. Sam, also I could cite the book of Jonah, where Jonah preaches to Nineveh, which is an Assyrian city. It is a corrupt culture. And from the king down, the people turn from their sin to God. But what's interesting is God has his mercy on the city of Nineveh and on the Assyrian nation when the leader of that country humbled himself and turned to the Lord. So what is so significant, Sam, about leaders, our national leaders, leading the way in corporate prayer, such as has been taking place today in Washington, D.C., is that is an overt, visible manifestation on the part of powerful men and women that they are acknowledging, God, we need you. We don't have all the answers. We do not find within ourselves the solutions to our nation's problems. We need your divine enablement. So that kind of praying is absolutely critical for the future of a nation.
Okay, so it's not only important privately, it's also important corporately, as you example, because God hears that. David knew. Just about a minute here we have for you. What in the past have been the subject matters of prayers that have been offered by our leaders, our president? What have they prayed for when they have prayed publicly? What have they prayed for?
Well, of course, one of the greatest prayers of all time by a government official, perhaps the largest prayer in American history, led by a United States government official, was led by President Roosevelt, FDR Franklin Roosevelt, on June 6, 1944, when he led over the radio. The largest prayer service led by an American president was on that date, and I'm sure that's still the record. And, of course, that is D-Day, and the American troops and the British troops and the Canadian troops were getting ready to land on the beaches of Normandy, and they were going to fight the anti-God forces represented by Nazi Germany.
So they pray for something very specific. David, give us some examples of what God expects those in leadership to pray for. It's not just saying, God, we need help. How specific should they be, and what should they be asking for?
Well, Sam, one of the great passages in the scripture, it's not just to those in leadership, but it's to God's people as well. But those that are in leadership certainly should make this a matter of prayer. And that is this, that we might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, government is for the sake of punishing those that do wrong, rewarding those or praising those that do well, so that a nation might be able to exist in quietness and in peace. And I dare say this, my times in Washington, D.C. at these National Day of Prayer events, there has been a significant, significant emphasis, whether it's prayer for the troops, whether it's prayer for our national leaders. They have prayed specifically for the opportunity, the occasion for the United States of America to be able to live in peace and to be able to function, the American people as a whole, in a peaceful environment. So there's a lot of other things that are prayed for. That's certainly one of those that should be at the top of the list.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think as we get more in this bracket, we'll look more at some of these pieces. But, you know, praying for security, is that a good thing? Yes. Praying for peace? Yes, that's a good thing. As you were saying earlier, with a humble spirit, though, has a whole big part to do with that. So David knew, when we come back on the other side of this break, I want to ask you why there's become such a distinction in who you pray to. For instance, sectarian prayers and praying in Jesus' name. What's that mean, and why has that become such an issue to pray in Jesus' name in these days in which we live? So, folks, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. I am Sam Rohr, and on behalf of David Kessler, Gary Dahl, and our special guest, David New, Stay with us, and we'll be right back after these announcements.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. The National Security Agency will continue for now its mass collection of Americans' phone records. That, though, coming as a federal appeals court in New York ruled today the program goes beyond what Congress has allowed and should be changed.
We are also, and have been, working with this body and others to look for ways to reauthorize Section 215 in a way that does preserve its efficacy and protect privacy.
Attorney General Loretta Lynch addressing that program with lawmakers today on Capitol Hill. The Senate later today getting a chance to weigh in on any proposed nuclear deal with Iran.
Under the bill, Congress would have the power to review any nuclear agreement reached with Iran, and the president would not be allowed to lift congressional sanctions against Iran for at least 30 days.
Fox News Radio's John Decker at the White House. Fox News, we report, you decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
World War II ended in Europe on this day, May 7, 1945, when German emissaries entered a schoolhouse in Reims, France, where General Dwight Eisenhower had his headquarters, and signed an unconditional surrender. The war in Europe had lasted 5.5 years and cost tens of millions of lives. After the war, Eisenhower was elected the 34th president by the largest number of votes in history. He stated, "Without God, there could be no American form of government or way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the most basic expression of Americanism."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back. This is Sam Rohr on behalf of David Kistler and myself, and our special guest in this quarter hour, David New. Our focus is prayer. We're talking about the importance of it, what it is. And I want to go back to David right now relative to the aspect of legal protections for prayer or what has happened. David, you mentioned back in 1962, the Supreme Court said it was not allowable to pray a very, very general prayer in the public school, and that set up a chain of events that's marched down now through this generation. I can tell you one time when I was in the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania, we had a person pray at the beginning of the session, which is normal, and they prayed in Jesus' name. And one of the members of the House, a liberal Republican of all things, a Republican, marched to the front, an atheist, marched to the front and demanded of the speaker that no longer should anybody pray in Jesus' name. And so that happened. And so I remember prayers being offered up to the spirit of the trees and to all kinds of other people, but not Jesus' name. David, why has that become such an issue for those challenging prayer? And what are the protections right now in place for those who pray publicly to pray in Jesus' name?
Well, of course, the reason why it's so sensitive to many people who find it objectionable is because the power of the name Jesus is just enormous. It's basically eternal. And this is why a lot of people go ballistic when they hear that word, Jesus. They just don't like it, I'm sad to say. But, of course, our blessed Lord and Savior in John 16, 23 and 24 does teach us and tell us, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, when you pray in the name of Jesus, which Christians have traditionally done for 2,000 years, it's basically pressing the send button or the enter button on your computer. When you say that in the name of Jesus, we ask this, that sends the prayer. Now, it's interesting what you had said about 1962, because the Congress responded to that issue, and a lot of people don't realize how prayer has affected this nation. When you see the President of the United States give the State of the Union address every January, he does it in the well of the House of Representatives. And right above him are the motto, In God We Trust. Our national motto is above him. Well, people do not know about why that motto was put there. It was put there in protest by Congress to the 1962 Engle versus Vitale case, the case that removed prayer from the public schools, the 22-word prayer that I just quoted a minute ago. And those words were installed in December of 1962. This is House Resolution 740, for those of you who have a computer want to read it. And you can see where the Congress approved it in December of 1962, and they installed it in December of 1962, rather. And so the first president ever to speak with In God We Trust above him was President John F. Kennedy. And, of course, we know that was the only time he did because of what happened in November 1963. Also, the Congress responded, and a lot of people don't know this about their Constitution, but ladies and gentlemen, there is another way to get prayer restored back in the public schools besides a constitutional amendment. If you look at Article 3 and you look at Section 2, Clause 2, the Congress has the ability under the Constitution, the power, to limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. It's those last words in that Clause 2 and Section 2 of Article 3, which says both as to law and fact with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. That's denying the Supreme Court jurisdiction. So if the people of this country were to vote for 60 senators to break a filibuster, the Congress could pass a law that says the Supreme Court and federal courts will not hear the issue of school prayer, that it will be left to the states. It only takes 60 senators, and it only takes a majority in the House, and that would end this whole debate about prayer in the public schools.
Dave, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought into this the idea that, you know, prayer is important. Obviously, some think that it's very important. That's why they try to get rid of it. That's why they try to say, don't pray in Jesus' name, because there's power there. So there are those who understand its importance, who do pray, and there are those who don't really want prayers prayed to God because they also know it's important. I want to go back to David Kistler now on this. because I was reading this morning in the book of Isaiah, and there, I'll just read one verse. God is, or through Isaiah, saying this to this nation of Israel. He said, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." And he said, their whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. And he said this then, because of that, when you spread forth your hands, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. And when you make many prayers, which is what we're talking about today, he said, I will not hear because your hands are full of blood. Now, David, speak to us a little bit about that. God, that says that God doesn't always hear our prayers. These are a national prayer. Should we be concerned about this as America today? Are we like Israel and have other things to consider? Is it just praying? Automatically God's going to hear us?
You know, Sam, it is not. In fact, there is a passage in Ezekiel chapter number 22, which is equally troubling and equally applicable as the Isaiah passage that you just cited. And that is in Ezekiel 22 verse 1, the scripture says this. Now, again, the context is the nation of Israel. But God says, or the word of God says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, will you judge the bloody city?" And the bloody city here referred to was Jerusalem. "Yes, show her all her abominations." And Sam, in that passage, one of the things the scripture mentions that was an abominable thing in the eyes of the Lord was the rampant bloodshed. Now, let me make an application here. We can have national days of prayer. We can gather in solemn assemblies. We can gather in beautiful buildings. We can gather in public places like is occurring all across the United States of America. But if the United States leadership, if the United States of America, as far as the people of the country, are not willing to admit, to confess, to turn from the rampant bloodshed that has taken place in this country to the tune of 55 to 58 million murdered children. And you don't get any more horrible bloodshed than the murder of those that have never been privileged to breathe air the first time. How in heaven's name can we expect God to hear our petitions when we are acting in ways that are in defiance of Him and totally abominable in His sight? So yes, Sam, your question that you asked, does this apply to us today? Should we be concerned about it? Is it enough just to pray these corporate public prayers and expect God to hear? It is not enough. We need to be greatly concerned. That's why I was so encouraged about what happened yesterday, a day of repentance that was called for by the National Day of Prayer Committee prior to today's National Day of Prayer, a time where we humble ourselves, admit, confess our sin, and then God can actually hear our prayers. The scripture says this, and this is where I'll stop. If I regard iniquity in my heart, my Lord will not hear me.
David, let me follow one question to you. When we consider candidates for office, there are some among us, libertarians particularly, and others of that persuasion, who say, don't bring up the moral issues. Just stay on the economics. Based on what we're talking about right here, it's to our great harm if we don't talk about the moral issues, is it not?
It's a recipe for disaster, Sam. How can we possibly not talk about moral issues when the God who built this nation, the God who will pour His blessing out on nation, talks in His word about the moral issues all the time? Economics are a symptom of a deeper moral problem. And if all we do is treat symptoms, it's like putting a Band-Aid on an open running cut. It will do nothing. We must go to the heart of the issue.
David New, back to you. For those who are in office, city council members, local township supervisors, others, there's a lot of complaint about some of them not being able to open their sessions in prayer. How important is it, and what provisions and rights do they have under the law to open their sessions in prayer now, under the current law?
Under the current law, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, they made a decision concerning the town of Greece, New York, where they were leading and having sectarian prayers at the opening of the council in that city. And the Supreme Court approved and passed that. So that means that people can lead sectarian prayer in a local city council meeting. Well, a lot of people don't understand. Why is it that you can pray at a council meeting, but you can't pray in a public school? Why can't the kids pray it? I'm sad to say what the Supreme Court has effectively done by saying yes to one and no the other is to treat prayer as R-rated activity, adults only, please.
See, that's most interesting, and that brings us up to where this is the challenge for today. Is it not appropriate, David New, that we pray that we get folks in office who make these changes, and that the preachers of America begin to preach these things that we're talking about?
It is absolutely essential. I pray God it will.
Absolutely. Folks, you are listening to Stand in a Gap today. This is Sam Rohr with co-host today, David Kistler, and our special guest, David New, who we want to thank him for being with us for the last 2 segments. We talk about prayer. Stay with us. We're going to come back on the other side of this break, and David and I are going to talk about very specific issues. Are all prayers equal? Does it make any difference who we pray to? Again, stay with us. This is Sam Rohr on behalf of David Kistler, Stand in the Gap today. We'll be right back.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
God says that when nations become proud and forsake Him, He'll replace their servant leaders with self-serving infantile leaders. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, saying there's a heavy price to pay for forsaking God. Isaiah chapter 3 says, "And I will give children to be their political rulers, and babes shall rule over them." The Bible goes on to say that these rulers may have adult bodies, but like little children, they have selfish hearts and short-sighted minds. Undisciplined and driven by their flesh, they encourage division and rebellion, disrespect to parents and those in authority, and lawlessness and crude behavior against those who are decent and honorable. Like the inhabitants of Sodom, they act like children, arrogant, selfish, and openly flaunting their sin. Yet God says their behavior and their countenance will testify against them and will reward evil to themselves and the nation they represent. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you if you can identify baby rulers so you don't act like one or vote for one.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Okay, welcome back, folks, as we conclude our final segment here of Standing in the Gap Today on this May the 7th edition. David Kistler, good discussion we had with David New on the other side. And I'd like to take, in these last few moments, bring some of this discussion to clarity. We've already cited that from God's perspective, he doesn't hear some prayers. David New talked about clearly that when you pray in Jesus' name, it all of a sudden gets some people way upset. And that all people generally view that there'll be power in prayer. I want to come down and ask you this question, help clarify us as we go to the end here. Are all prayers equal? And does it really make any difference who we pray to, or is it just the fact that we're praying?
Well, Sam, obviously it makes great difference who we pray to. In fact, if you look throughout the scriptures, and I'll cite again the example in Elijah's situation there in the book of 1 Kings 17, you have the prophets of Baal crying, getting up on the altar. The Bible says they cut themselves after their manner or after their custom. This was not the first time they'd gone through this ritualistic expression of attempting to get the attention of a God who does not even exist. And I'm referring to Baal. And so they're praying, but their prayers are to no avail. So it's not the prayers themselves as much as it is to whom we are praying that is most important. That's a classic example of that. Are all prayers equal? Sam, really they're not. And if I could cite this example in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus said this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room or into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So all prayers are not equal. Just because they're uttered, if they're not prayed to the God of heaven, if they're not prayed with sin confessed, if they're not prayed in sincere humility, if they're not prayed even with the right motivation, then Sam, they literally go no higher than the ceiling.
And Dave, I wonder if in this nation we haven't gone through a lot of the good motions, but we have not prayed on God's terms, if that makes sense, because our hands are dirty, as the Isaiah passage talked about. We've not really dealt with these issues of killing the unborn. And, you know, really, that's why we're so concerned about the redefining of biblical marriage. These are moral, these are God's issues. And does not God look at nations in how we treat these things that are he's laid down from the beginning of time?
Well, Sam, God does. If we call what God has called evil, if we call it good, or if we call good or call evil what God has called good, then we are setting ourselves up in direct juxtaposition to the God of heaven. We're setting ourselves up in direct defiance against him. And so, Sam, to be honest with you, I share great concerns. Every time this National Day of Prayer rolls around, I love it. I'm a part of it. I participated as a speaker, as a prayer. I have been in D.C. many times at the national commemoration. I believe in all of it. But I'll be honest with you, Sam, there's a part of me that is in my spirit always asking, oh, God, are we doing this in vain? Are we doing this in vain whenever we're tolerating evil in all of its ugly forms? Are we just doing this because we are going through the motions and literally, God, you're not hearing? What has been encouraging to me, Sam, on the national level at the event that is taking place and has taken place today in the Kennan office building there in Washington, D.C. I have seen sincere prayers prayed over the last several years where those that have been asked to lead in prayer have confessed unequivocally the sin of our nation and have begged God for forgiveness. So, Sam, I believe those prayers are being heard. But if it's just a ritual that some politician goes through because it's going to garner him some favor with the conservative evangelical community, that's a waste of time.
And I think that's important for our listeners, all of you, to hear and understand, both privately and publicly. God does look at the heart. He really does. And I think, David, it would be remiss if we, on this emphasis on prayer, on this day of prayer, if we did not, on this broadcast, lead publicly in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to do that right now, to pray for us. Pray as God would have us to pray, and pray for our nation, if you would, please.
Sam, it's my delight. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love. We thank you, Lord, that you loved this world enough to send the only son you had to die on an old rugged cross, to be buried, to rise again the third day, to provide an opportunity for sinful man to be forgiven. Father, I would pray for anyone under the sound of our voice today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray you would convict them of their sin and draw them to yourself, and may they purposefully, genuinely, from a heart of sincerity, call out for forgiveness and salvation. Father, I pray also, Lord, for our nation. Lord, we're in a desperate situation right now, and humbly, Lord, we come before you today confessing that we have disregarded your word. We have turned our back on, Lord, the clear things that you teach in your word. Lord, we have embraced things that you say unequivocally will bring, Lord, not your blessing, but your cursing upon us, and we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we pray you would forgive us for the murder of the unborn. We pray you would forgive us for arrogantly trying to redefine something as fundamental as marriage between one man and one woman. Lord, that's your idea. So you have every right to define it the way you choose to define it. Oh, God, forgive us for in your face rebelling against you in these and so many other ways. And Father, I would pray for our national leaders. Lord, you implore us to pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we might indeed lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Lord, I pray for our president today. I pray for our national leaders that, Lord, they would humble themselves, understanding they don't have all the answers, but Lord, you do. Lord, you're the great creator of the universe. You're the author not only of the home and the church, but of civil government. And Lord, this is your idea. It's your institution. And so, oh God, forgive us for usurping and jerking, or at least attempting to, from your hands what government is to be and what it is to do, and thinking we know better. Oh God, have mercy upon us. And Father, I pray for a revival in America. Lord, I thank you that at periodic times in our past, you have descended on this nation in response to the prayers of your people, and you've sent revival. And Lord, we ask for that once again. Lord, would you rend the heavens and come down that the mountains might shake at your presence? Lord, would you once again revive your people that we might rejoice in thee? And Father, we promise we'll stand aside and give you the glory that you alone are worthy of. For it's in your matchless, holy, wonderful name, the name of Jesus, that we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dave. I believe that there was power in that prayer. I know I was moved in my heart, and I believe that God can hear and answer prayer. Don't you totally believe that? Otherwise, we wouldn't be going through this motion. But in this passage in Isaiah, he said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." You know, God will hear the prayers, serious, sincere prayers of his people. Dave Kistler, thank you for this broadcast today. Thank you for being here with me. And we would hope that those who've been listening would take what they have heard to heart. Pray for our nation, pray for themselves, and pray that God would have mercy upon us as a nation. Folks, on behalf of David Kistler and Gary Dahl, this is Sam Rohr, urging you to join with us tomorrow. Encourage others to stand in the gap for truth with us. Stand today. See you tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.